Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, this morning we come to the last message like this of the conference. Although I believe after this we'll have a wonderful message and you all will give the message. So I'm looking forward to that very much. I will enjoy being able to sit in your seat very soon. But this morning we come to this crucial last message. I was just fellowshipping with Brother David this morning and we just feel like we have to have this message last. This message is really the best. This whole weekend, we've been seeing and hearing some very high things. And some of us may have the feeling, what do I do with this? I don't know how to enter into these high, abstract things that we're hearing. And I would describe it very much like this. It's wonderful. The truth is so high and it's so profound. But the practice of these things is actually so simple. And it's wonderful that the Lord has made it this way. So I hope you are looking forward to this time this morning, because that's the burden here, is that we all can pick up something practical that we can go home and practice, so that we can enter into the reality of what we've been seeing, and in all actuality, see even more.
Amen.
You know, I don't know who in here can tell me, how does your body turn carbohydrates into energy? Right? Maybe somebody can. Raise your hand if you can't tell me that. I cannot tell you how that happens. I can't tell you how protein rebuilds the muscles and the cells in my body. But I can tell you for sure that it has been happening in my life for a while now. Aren't you happy that you don't have to understand carbohydrates to have energy?
Amen.
Okay, well, in the divine things, it is important that we advance to the full knowledge of the Son of God. So, our understanding is very important. However, we don't have to fully understand before we can enter into these things. So this is the burden this morning. We'll touch some of these things related to the body of Christ, the body life. But hopefully, if you feel like, I don't quite understand, I don't quite get it, that's okay. We can be where we are with what we have received this weekend, and we can go home and hopefully with this enter into some things and begin to see something more and begin to get all the benefits of living in this organism that's full of life. Well, maybe just in a way of review, I'll cover a little bit this morning and then enter into this next outline. And then at the end, Brother David is going to give us kind of a conclusion. He'll share some of the points from this outline and then something even from this whole conference to kind of really help us have a good conclusion. So who can tell me? From the first message, what do we get from the first message? What's the title? How about you tell me the title? God's goal, the body of Christ. In this message, we saw that God has an eternal purpose, and He created man to be a corporate man that He would express and represent Him, right? And so, when God said, let them have dominion, right? God made man and said, let them have dominion. There's a little secret right there at the beginning of the Bible that God's intention in making man is that man would be something to him and for him corporate, right? So in that little seed, eventually what comes out of that is that the body of Christ must be a corporate man to accomplish God's goal. Actually, Christ in himself is the complete God, the perfect man, manifested, right, in humanity. He fulfills God's intention in creating man, but he is just one person, just one man, right? He's complete. However, such a Christ, right, he needs the church. He needs millions of believers to express what he is in his riches, okay? So this is really God's goal, is to have a body for Christ.
Amen.
The second message, who can tell me what that is? The title from that. Say it loud if you know it. So this body that God wants to have for Christ is not an organization. Was that a revelation to anyone here? Did that break anyone's concept that this is not the equivalent of building up a congregation or enlarging a society per se? But actually, this is something that comes out of the divine birth. And there's an organic union here that's produced between man and God and Christ, right? And so, because this is an organism full of life, this organism needs to grow. We saw from Ephesians 4 that we need to arrive at a full-grown man. This is that corporate man. And being an organism full of life, then we need to grow. So by holding to truth and love, what is truth? It is Christ and it is the church. By holding to these basic things, right, which actually means a lot, but holding to this, we would grow up into Him in all things. And as we grow up into Him, actually something will come out from Him, right? And that is the body of Christ. And that's with all the members, and that's with their function. Aren't you happy to know that you, as a member of the body of Christ, have an indispensable function?
Amen.
The body can just not do without. Everyone here, there's such a hope that we would grow up into Christ, and our God-allotted portion, our growth would come out as function, where in love we would function to dispense Christ into one another, right? So that the churches would be built up organically. Eventually, a full-grown man, the Lord could come back and say, "It is finished. My bride is prepared." Okay, and then the third message was absolutely crucial. I was so thankful for the Lord speaking last night. An overwhelming characteristic. Let me have Dennis come up here. If I were to ask you, our brother Dennis, what is the most striking characteristic of Dennis? What would you tell me? What did you say?
Smiling.
That's a good one. That's how I remember Dennis, right? All the time. What else? What would you say is the most striking, powerful, impactful characteristic of this brother standing here? Anybody else? Say something else. What is it? He's faithful. You could say he's tall. Right? He's tall. Okay. Well, in the third message, thank you, brother. You can sit down. In the third message, what we saw is that the body of Christ has this characteristic. It's an organism full of life, just like Dennis. Nobody told me when he was standing here that the most striking characteristic about Dennis is that Dennis, as an organism, every part of this thing standing in front of me is one. You didn't say that, right? And maybe it's not that impressive to you that that was the case. And I wonder why that is. I thought about that a little bit, and I realized maybe it's because all of us are that way. Every single person you look at, his hands, his feet, right, his body, it's just one. It's like, it's so normal, and it's so, like, expected that actually you would only notice it if he were to stand up and his arms and legs fell off, and I asked you that question. What's the most striking characteristic of this brother, Dennis, right here? You would say, well, he's in pieces on the floor, right? That would be, you would be alarmed. Some of you would get up and run out of the room, wouldn't you? Right? Okay. So, okay. Here's the point I want to make. The body of Christ, right? The body of Christ, it is actually an organism. It's not a metaphor. It's a real, living, breathing thing, right? Okay. How come the body of Christ can be so divided today? So many brothers and sisters refuse to fellowship with one another. I almost won't even acknowledge that you're actually a brother, because you don't do things the way I like to do it, right? And so then I'm going to go across the street and I'm going to start my own church, right? And I'm going to just divide the body of Christ. I'm going to take the arm with me and you can stay there with the legs, and I'm going over here. Right? If I just did that with Dennis in front of your eyes, you would be mortified, right? Well, that's really powerful. If you really think about that, that's the situation we live in today. And it's almost like no one has a consciousness of that. No one is mortified. That's not grotesque, that's what's actually happened, right? And I think part of it is it's just the enemy's damage so that it's normal. A lot of us, we just look around and we're like, that's the way it's always been, so it's just normal. But it's actually absolutely abnormal for this organism to be this way. So the Lord has to have a recovery. If this is not a metaphor and this is a reality, somewhere on the earth, this must be recovered.
Amen.
There must be a manifestation that the body actually is one. Right. You know, in John 17, the Lord said,
And his prayer, he says in that chapter, you know how all of the world is going to know that God sent me the Son? You know how it's all going to know? All the world will be convinced, subdued utterly? Is that the brothers and sisters will be one. Right? So, this matter of oneness and the testimony of oneness being recovered, worked out practically and expressed on the earth, it's not just some theory. Right? It sounds good on paper. You know, we can actually, some people on the earth have to see that and be burdened by that to enter into that and to become the reality of that. If that doesn't happen, the Lord's Prayer in John 17 doesn't get fulfilled. Right? And this age doesn't end and God's economy does not get worked out. How much the oneness of the body of Christ has to be a reality to us. Amen. And the expression of that has to be recovered on the earth.
Amen.
Okay, so what is this oneness? The element of it is really, it's not a unity, right? A union just being put together. It's not a negotiation. It's actually having the very element of Christ as the Spirit dispensed into our being.
Amen.
Right? This is the oneness of the Spirit that we receive by regeneration. That's the element that makes us one. And now, we need to, keeping the oneness of the Spirit, go on until we arrive at a full-grown man. Right? And blending is the most helpful thing for us to get there. So, now we come to the fourth message. In the oneness of the Spirit, you need to keep the oneness of the Spirit, and you need blending. But I would ask this question this morning, in what context? In what environment? Like, I need to keep the oneness of the Spirit. When, where, and how? In what setting? And for what? Right? Eventually, now you see, this third message needs the fourth message. So let's read the title of the fourth message altogether. You know, blending harmonizes us, it tempers us, it adjusts us. And I got a little bit of help. I realized this about myself. I speak fast. I get excited and I speak fast. And I realized through some fellowship that actually not everybody here speaks English, right? That well or at all or anyway. And so I just learned a little bit this morning, if I really have a feeling and a sense and a consciousness of the body, I would be aware of that and that would matter to me and I would speak in a different way if I cared for the body of Christ. If I just care for myself, I'll just speak my own way, right? So I received that fellowship as from the Lord. I need to speak in a way that the Lord can have a way. So if I'm speaking too fast, I would just say, feel free. It will be a help to me. Just do this. I'm speaking too fast. And if I see that, I won't be bothered at all. I will slow down. Because what matters to us is that we all get the dispensing, right?
Amen.
And we all get the light this morning. So if I don't get to cover it all, amen, Lord, may it be so. There's a lot here this morning and we won't cover it all. But anyway, here we come to the body life. And in this message, the whole emphasis of this message is on Romans chapter 12. So I would encourage you all to just have your Bible open to that or put a marker there or something. We'll be referring to it. Roman numeral 1, it says this, that Romans 12 reveals the importance of the practice of the body life. The importance of the practice of the body life. And it shows us that we are members one of another. So that is direct utterance from the Bible. Let's read it for ourselves. Romans 12, 4 and 5. Let's read it all together. For just as in one body, we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Just as in a body, in a physical body. Not like, exactly like that. Just as in a body, there's many members. And they don't have the same function. So also the body of Christ. And just as in the physical body, my members are members one of another. So also the body of Christ. Right? So just as much as this foot belongs to these hands, same in the body of Christ, right? Okay. Wow. Members one of another. So So now we can see, point A, that the body life is a corporate life, right? Just as your human body is that way, the body of Christ is also that way. It's a corporate life. And I like this utterance here. You read it to me in point A. It says, the corporate life is the main structure of a Christian's behavior. Main structure of a Christian's behavior. If you want to be like me, you can write right there a question mark. What does that mean? The main structure of a Christian's behavior. Well, I would like to read to you these verses from Acts chapter 2. You know, in Acts chapter 2, it was 50 days after the Lord had resurrected. He had visited the disciples, and at least 11 of them had received the Holy Spirit. They were regenerated. It was kind of secret, but at that point in time, there was a group of people on the earth that Christ had entered into. But as of yet, you could ask, where is the body of Christ? Hidden. It's mysterious. Where is the body of Christ? Well, for 50 days, right, the Lord was doing many things. Eventually, at the end, he had the disciples pray for 10 days in an upper room. They prayed themselves into a kind of a one accord.
Amen.
And then, as the Lord prophesied, the promise of the Spirit was poured out from on high.
Amen.
And they were filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak with tongues. Discernible tongues. People understood what they were saying. Right? But they were like, what is this? Are they drunk? No. This is not drunk. They are filled with a kind of a new wine. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And here it was, Peter, standing with 11, began to preach the gospel. And on that day, thousands of Jews were pricked in their heart as they heard the gospel. What must we do to be saved? Repent. Repent and be baptized. Right? On the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Right? And so on that day, thousands, this happened. And the Spirit was poured out. And you could say there was a birth. There was a delivery. The Holy Spirit, God Himself, initiated something and poured out the Spirit. And the body of Christ was born. Publicly identified. All could see. Here it is. God's organism. It's on the earth. It's right here. Right? So you could call this also a new invention of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
On that day, on the earth, there was the church in Jerusalem. Right? The church. The body of Christ was located in that one city at that time. And there they were. And in Acts chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, what does that look like now? Thousands of people. They're the body. They're the church. They're living in this city. The Holy Spirit invented it. There's a pure product here. It's the church. What is their life like? What does that look like? Well, Acts 2:46 says, day by day, here they were. They continued steadfastly with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They partook of their food with exultation and simplicity of heart, praising God and having grace with all the people. Right? And the Lord, how do you think he felt about this? The Lord was very happy. It says, and the Lord added together, day by day, those who were being saved. This is the church life. This is something, you know, in the Bible, when God does something, when he created man, it was very good. When God produced the church, it was very good. How do you know he felt that way? Day by day, the Lord was just adding, this is what I want. Get more people. And this is what I want right here, right? That's what he was doing, okay? Well, so that is the picture of the church life. And what would you say is the structure of the daily life of those people? Well, what were they doing? Day by day, they were together. They were house to house. They were partaking of their food. They were simple, right? They were praising God. They were having grace. What is grace? Grace is Christ being enjoyed. They were enjoying Christ. And people were being saved. In Acts chapter 5, it said they were continuing steadfastly in the teaching and fellowship of the apostles. And they really believed any day the Lord was coming back. Because he said it wouldn't take long. But unfortunately, that was lost. That got degraded. Even by chapter 5 of Acts, already some degradation was coming in, right? So, that situation I described to you earlier, there was one body right here, not dismembered, right? But that got degraded into what we have today, right? So this idea of having a daily life of enjoying Christ and being with the brothers and sisters and growing and building one another up, that was lost. That became foreign. People that practice that, oh, you're too much. That's extreme. Every day, all the time, you go to meetings too much. You should just do that little thing on Sunday morning and that's good enough, right? Well, it depends on what you see. Okay? Point B, you read that to me.
We did not pay our attention to the body life. We are surely missed God's call.
Whoa, that's powerful. If we don't pay attention to this body life, we shall miss God's goal. I would like us to be convinced, just by reading some verses in Romans chapter 12, that the body life is God's goal, right? Hopefully, by the time this is over, you can say, wow, okay, that's right. God has to have that, and I'll either be a part of it or I won't, okay? Romans chapter 12. Let's have the brothers read verse 1 strongly. I
exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God.
Okay, so bodies are needed, right? Bodies are needed. Okay, 2, the sisters, and do not be fashioned according to this age. Okay, circle this if you believe in that in your Bible. If you don't, it's okay. We can still have fellowship, okay? Will of God. It's right there. Will of God. So in chapter 12, the will of God is here. And a lot of times in the Bible studies with the students where I'm at, we'll read something and I'll ask them, what is the will of God? And one of the first things that happens is this. Okay, the will of God. Did you notice what I just did? I just set my Bible down. This happens a lot. Well, you know what I think it is? Right? You know, I think it's... I watched a YouTube video and this said, right? I would hope that we could be a different kind of people. When somebody asked this question, okay, we just read Romans 12, and Romans 12 said will of God. What is the will of God? I hope we would do this. Like this. Look right back here in Romans 12. It must be here. Paul just mentioned it, okay? Let's keep reading. See if we can find it. Brothers on 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to be sober-minded, as God has apportioned to each a measure of faith. And then sisters, 4. And then altogether 5. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ and members. So just stepping through this here. Verse 1, bodies are needed. And in verse 2, if I can have those bodies, guess what comes with them? The mind that's in that body. Okay? So give me the body, and then something needs to happen to the mind that's in that body. Right? That mind needs to be transformed. By what? By renewing. It means it's old, right? And something new has to happen. A kind of a cleansing, a reorganization, a restructuring has to happen, right? Because what's been happening to that mind? Well, the age has been working on it. Do not be fashioned according to the age, right? Give me back your mind. Let me undo the damage that the age has done to it, right? Because if I can do that, then guess what I can do with these bodies and those renewed bodies? I could prove by testing. I could manifest the good and well-pleasing will of God. Amen. Right? So God, He wants His will to be made known, and it involves these people. And it involves a process with these people. Why? Well, in verse 3 it says, for I say, so you can see that's a continuation, for I say, right, through the grace given to me, that no one would think more highly of himself than he ought to. Right? That's why I need you, your body, and your mind. Think about this. How many people think more highly of themselves than they ought to? Right? We just get infected with this kind of thought, right? It's an element of the fall. Actually, Satan himself was the first one to think this way. I will exalt my throne. I'll make myself like the Most High. Right? That got in the way. So, that makes you drunk. People are drunk. Right? So don't think more highly of yourself. We need you to be sober-minded. God has measured a portion to each a measure of faith. So you're not nothing, but you're not maybe what you think you are. So you need a process in our mind to help us to arrive at a place where we can just see what we really are. We're just a member in the body. I'm not all the members. I can't do everything. Actually, I can only do a few things. My hand can only do a few things. I mean, if I don't have the hand, I'm in bad shape, right? But it can only do a few things. Okay, for just as in one body, we have many members. Okay, so eventually it says, so we who are many are one body in Christ. That's the good and well-pleasing will of God. He wants to have one body in Christ lived out and expressed. What would be seen there is a kind of a display. I want to impress you with this point. God needs that display. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, came to me as I was preparing, and I was really impressed with this. It's a small sidebar, but it says in Ephesians chapter 3, it's come out a little bit this weekend, that something was hidden throughout the ages. The mystery of human life. No one knew why they were alive. What was the point of their being here? And at some point in time, as our brother shared, God came to the holy apostles and prophets in spirit and revealed to them the mystery. Imagine this. Justice, come here. Imagine this. Here you are, Justice. You, me, we're all just members of this human race with these people, and none of us has any idea why we're alive. Okay? They're just whatever they're doing with their life. And then God decides to come and show you. Okay, now you know.
Yeah.
Okay, none of them know. What are they doing with their life?
Whatever they want.
They're wasting. They have no clue. Okay, you're the only one who knows. The burden is now on you. What if they don't find out? What are you going to tell God? Yeah, that was the meaning of your life.
Just to minister his life to them, that they may know their life.
Verse 9. And
to enlighten all, that they may see that the economy of the mystery is, which throughout the ages has been hidden from God, who created all things.
Amen. Think about Paul, like the weight of finding that out. The weight, like here it is, Paul. You have to tell them all. Okay? Well, to enlighten all that they may see, right? And then verse 10, this is the verse that I was just loving. It says, this is enlighten all in verse 10 in order that now. The enlightening is so that now something would happen. In order that now to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavens, all of those evil angels that went with Satan in the rebellion, to all of the spiritual forces, in order that now to them the multifarious wisdom of God might be made known through the church. God needs a display. He needs to produce something on the earth that he can look at this thing and he can say, Satan, come here, sit down. Look at that. Look at that. Right? He needs a display. This thing, this body of Christ, this new man, it will express all of God's infinite wisdom and his divine design.
Amen.
Okay. Well, what's he going to point to when he points to that entity? Just some like, ah, there they are. What is he going to do? Well, I'll tell you what he's going to point to. He's going to point to their daily life. Look what's happening day in and day out when no one is looking. Right? They have a kind of a life together. It was impossible to have this kind of a life together with the men that you corrupted. But look what I did. I saved these people. I transformed their mind. None of them thinks more highly of themselves than they should. All of them realizes, I'm nothing. I'm just a member. I need all the rest.
Amen.
There's no rivalry. No competition. I just love them.
If this one's hurting, I'm hurting. Right? If God gets that, oh, what a boast. And what a shame to the enemy.
Brothers and sisters, this is the body life. And I hope that this morning we could just be burdened and impressed with how important this is. How wonderful this is. I hope we could be inspired. Is that something worth living for? Think about this. Like, what do you want to give your life for? What will it all add up to? What is it worth in the end? Right? Eventually, what remains in eternity is that, what I just described. So whatever you're doing, it may be good, it may be noble, but if it is not contributing to that, sorry to say, it might be just vain. Right? It might just pass away. So I hope we could see this is the good and well-pleasing will of God, and we could just be inspired. Okay, I want to be in it my whole life. I want to contribute to it. I want that manifestation to happen. I want to see when God points it out to the devil. Look, I want to be there. Do you? What else is worth living for? Okay, I'm taking so much time, but can you see there's so much feeling in me?
Amen.
Right? This is so important. So Paul, I feel like I'm one with the Apostle Paul right now. In Romans chapter 1, he says, I exhort you. In the life studies, it brings this out. It says he was begging the Romans. I beg you, just present your bodies. Just give me your bodies. Right? Just give me your bodies. Because if you do, there's a chance this could be worked out. Okay, point number 2. For the body life, a normal Christian should possess 3 things. So if you want that, if you're for that, if you want to participate in that, you don't understand it, it's okay. You will, right? What you need is in this very same chapter. 3 things. Actually, before I get into that, I just want to read a couple more verses, maybe just to impress you that that's what this whole chapter is about, the body life. Okay? Read along with me if you're there. In chapter 12. So it says in verse 6, I'll just continue. And having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Who would you prophesy to? Just to the air? Eventually it's to other people, right? Or in service, let us be faithful in that service. Who do you serve? If you're serving, who's getting served? It's other people. Okay, the context here, you're picking this up, other people. He who teaches, who's he teaching? Other people, right? He who exhorts, other people. He who gives, gives to who? Other people. He who leads, leads who? He who shows mercy, right? Love one another warmly in brotherly love. Okay, so this is brothers. Take the lead in showing honor to one another. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Repay no one evil for evil. This is describing the life of this corporate entity. If you're going to live in the body, what's it going to be like? How would you like to be living among a group of people who bless and do not curse? Think about that. All the backstabbing in high school. Right? Did you experience some of that? How would you like to live among a group of people who are of the same mind toward one another? Not setting their mind on high things, but going along with the lowly. Not wise in themselves. Not paying back evil for evil. Right? No, I'm not paying you. I'm not. You wronged me. You didn't know it. Whatever. I'm not. There's no payback here. There's just mercy.
Amen.
Who wants to live in that?
Amen.
Sounds like a dream, right? This is a reality, brothers and sisters. We can have this. But for us to have this, a group of people have to take a certain way. And point 2, this is it. It's in this chapter. They need to have 3 things. They need to have a presented body, a renewed, transformed mind, and a burning spirit. Okay, can you see these 3 things? In the first chapter, in the first verse we just read, right, the exhortation was present your bodies. If there are no bodies, where's the manifestation? It's just in theory. It's just on the chalkboard. It just sounds good on paper. There have to be bodies. There have to be people that see this and give themselves to this, right? Nothing is more real and practical than your body, okay? Although many bodies are presented, the sacrifice is one, right? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, not sacrifices. And that's because the many members, the many bodies presented, God intends to take them and make out of them one body. One body to himself. A body to Christ. So these are the church. So, brothers and sisters, to offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice is our most reasonable service. To give up everything for the church life, I hope now in the context of this fellowship, you realize to give it all up so that that could be worked out and you could be a part of it. It's most logical. It's most reasonable. I remember one time I was in this Bible school training. Maybe Peter, Dennis, Aaron, some remember this. There was a particular time in that training where there was a real move of the Spirit. And many of our classmates, there was just a feeling. The Lord came to us and we were just touched by the Lord to such a degree. Many just began to consecrate themselves to the Lord. Just consecrate. Lord, I just consecrate myself to you. I just present myself to you. A living sacrifice. And then one of the trainers, his name is Brother Nora. He was with us not long after that. I don't know if you brothers remember this, but he was speaking with us, and he was like, I heard about that, and I was so happy. But then he said this. He said, some of you may not have done that, right? I don't know if you remember one of it. He was like, some of you may not have had that feeling. You couldn't feel what the other people were feeling. A brother next to me was in tears. He was touched so much, right? He was in tears. And now I was touched. Wow. But I couldn't feel that way. I couldn't weep like he did. I mean, I was inspired, but I just didn't have the feeling. Brother Minoru, he came and he shared this. He said, well, even if you have no feeling, right? He says, this is your reasonable service. It just makes sense. You've been bought by God with a price, and you're not your own. Your body is his. It's just rational. It just makes sense. How about that? I was like, okay, Lord, then amen. I don't have to feel anything, right? It just makes sense. I'm an engineer, so maybe that's my problem. But anyway, God can save engineers, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, well, I would just add this practical point. Brothers and sisters, the church life needs you. Okay? Sometimes some saints would say something like this. They would say, well, I can't make it to the meeting. I have to do this other thing. But I'm with you in spirit. My heart is for the church life, right? It sounds good, maybe, or spiritual, but actually, what if everyone said that? What about the good and well-pleasing will of God? What would prove it? Right? Eventually, it's like, it has to have bodies. There have to be people, right? Practically in the same place. So, there are times, and the Lord knows, when we can't be in the meetings, and our heart is there. But brothers and sisters, I'd just like to say this to you. You vote for this with your presence. You demonstrate this with your presence. You have to go to the meetings. You have to pay the price for the meetings. Actually, part of the reason you might not go to the meetings is because of your way of thinking. So we'll come to that. Right? You may have been affected by the worldly philosophy, the way of thinking. Oh, we have to be practical, and you can't be meeting that much, and you might realize that's why your body needs to get to the meeting, because your mind is not sober. You're affected by the philosophy of the age. Okay, another thing, so the prayer meeting needs you. The table meeting, the prayer meeting really needs you, right? Actually, the future of the recovery needs many of us young ones to learn how to pray, to learn how to fight. Because some of the faithful ones that are with us are going to the Lord day after day. Who will rise up and fill that spot? Well, they didn't learn how to fight that fight in an instant. It wasn't like Samson, the Spirit fell upon them. Year after year, week after week, they were in the prayer meeting. You know what else needs you? The homes of the saints. Right? I can share this now. I have a family. Dennis, you could probably share this too. Dennis's children need you in his house. Did you know that? They need a big brother and a big sister to look up to. They need somebody that is going to inspire them. I want to be like that. Right? What is that? It's a person who just loves the Lord. You're just a pattern of a person. You exercise your spirit. You read the Bible. You take care of one another.
You spend time with them. You take an interest in them. My kid can't wait to go to the meeting because y'all are there. How about that? He comes to the children's meeting and he looks forward to it because you're there. And if you go to the homes of the saints, and Dennis's children, Aaron's children, they have that experience. Guess what? Phoebe, Aaron, Heidi, how do you think they're going to feel? Oh my goodness. They're going to cook you some food. They're going to invite you over again. They're going to pay for you to go to the semi-annual training. I don't know. There's one sister in our home. We told her, if you finish your Bible reading, we're paying. Wow. I hope she does. You know? Okay. Do you see this? Day by day, house to house. All these needs are being met. All these needs. Okay. Present your bodies. Amen. Point B. You read that. We should not be conformed to the age,
but transformed by the renewing of our body.
So the transformation in that verse, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be glorified? Then it means this. It means the mind. It means having your mind renewed. The age is present, is the present practical world life. The present practical, what is the age? It's the present practical world life. And guess what it is? It is in opposition to. It opposes the church life. And also it's a substitute for the church life. You know how the world started? It started there with Eden, God, Adam, eventually Adam's children, Cain, Abel. There they are, living in the presence of Jehovah, even after the fall. And Cain made an offering fully out of himself that was unacceptable to God. And God didn't honor that sacrifice. He honored the one Abel offered. And Cain got jealous. And Cain killed his brother. And God came to Cain and says, what happened to your brother? You think God didn't know? Of course he knew. He was just trying to get Cain to confess. Right? If he would confess, he could be forgiven and restored, and God would have a way to go on. Cain rejected that. He left the presence of Jehovah. You see for yourself, Genesis 4. He just left, and he went to Nod, and he built a city called Enoch. And out of that was a godless civilization. Before that, man had everything he needed. All his pleasure, his provision, his entertainment, his satisfaction, no shortage. God himself, there in Eden, supplying. He had no need. But now, what about in Nod? What about in Enoch? How about man now? He needs entertainment. He needs somebody to take care of him. Right? He needs to build walls and weapons to protect himself because he doesn't have God. Right? Out of that godless civilization, today we have the world. Today, we have a godless civilization. Oh, don't go to the meetings to get entertainment. Don't read the Bible. Just come over here. We have TVs. We have malls. Just come to this mall. Good works? Okay, we've got that too. Come over here, right? All of it is just designed to occupy and usurp man. To keep man away from God and keep man away from God's purpose. If all of the people are distracted with YouTube and Facebook and all of that, then what about the will of God being proved on you? There just won't be any bodies to do it with. You see it? So this is the world. And living in that kind of a society, there's a kind of a philosophy there. You know what you need? You gotta do this, and you gotta do that. And you gotta be thinking down the road. You need to get this job and that internship, and so this summer you should do this instead of that. And you need all this money, and so you better work more so you can pay for this. And eventually, what happens? None of you are available. There's no one to have the church life with, right? And you think. Because the age does this, it makes you think that this is what everybody's doing. I should be doing that too. Okay? Well, to be transformed in point two is to have an organic element wrought into our being to produce a metabolic change inwardly. Okay, this involves our minds. And I don't know how we're doing on time here, but I would just like to say a couple of things here. Point three, I'll read that, and then I'll just fellowship with three. We need the renewal of our mind and the transformation of our soul so that we may prove by testing what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect.
Brothers and sisters, it's just saying it again. The will of God is to have the body life, to have the church life. Okay? Okay, I have some burden here, so I'm going to try to share this. I went to Israel with my wife, and the saints took us on a tour. Some of you may have went. And I went to this place called the Israel Museum. No, it was the Holocaust Museum. And I don't know if you've ever been there, but the one I went to was in Jerusalem. It's called Yad Vashem. It means a name and a memorial. And when we started this underground tour of the Holocaust, we started out in this little space that was like a classroom, like you would take your kids to for daycare. And on the walls was, you know, the stuff you would expect to see, the pictures, the crafts, and then some of the books that they're reading, and the coloring books. And our tour guide started to share with us, look a little closer at what you see here. And when we looked, you know what we saw? In every single one of these things, guess who the villain is? The bad guy. It's a Jewish person. He's dressed like a Jewish person. They try to pick up the physical characteristics of the Jewish people. Guess who was the bad guy? All the time. The one that the kids were just taught to like hate. It was the Jewish people. See, I had this question. I wondered, how could a group of people take thousands of people on a train and tell them, no, it's great, we're taking you on a vacation, just come. And get them off that train and walk them into a gas chamber. Just, they never had any clue until they were in there. Dead. Millions. How could they do that without any feeling? Actually, even more, how could they do that with this feeling that it's like, we're saving the planet by extinguishing these people? It just blew my mind. But I felt like the Lord used that to really show me something. Do you think it was an accident that it was the Jewish people that were targeting? You know, when God called out from the nations, Abraham, and said, I'll make of you a great nation, and he was circumcised, and promises are made to him. Guess what also happened? He got a bullseye on his head. And he's had it there for centuries. It's never left. So you have to see that behind that situation was Satan, the pernicious evil one, operating within humanity to damage humanity, to produce a kind of humanity that could think they were serving God and destroying God's people. You don't just get that way overnight. Something has to make you that way, right? You have to take the human element in you, the heart that people have when they see someone dying, and swoosh them. Okay. This is graphic, right? I just want to do this because I want to get your attention. The Holocaust happened because the devil started with kids, putting thoughts into them, into their minds. And that affected their humanity to eventually the point that they loved killing Jewish people. And they did it. That's disgusting. But it happened. Okay. I would like to say this, brothers and sisters. Satan has not changed his way. He has not changed his way. If it was obvious, they would have recognized it. The devil doesn't come to you with a pitchfork. Here I am, I'm the devil, I'm going to ruin things. He comes to you in a different way. He comes to you as a child. And he starts to insert thoughts. Okay, and I'm saying this because I want to say this to all of us. It has happened to every one of us. The age we live in today, the books that we were handed in elementary school, the things that we were taught, the things our professors are saying, the things the talking heads are saying, the things that we're taking in on YouTube and listening to on social media, what our friends are posting. You have to see all of that is coming into your soul and into your mind and shaping the way you think, right? I thought about this. If I were to go with you all and we would go to Tim Hortons, that's Canada, right? Tim Hortons. And I were to get a dozen of the donuts that were there. And I were to take that dozen donuts and just eat them all. You all might look at me and be like, don't do that. And if I would tell you this, I would say, don't worry. I'm not going to let it bother me. I'm not going to let it affect me. I'm just eating it. It's going to go in, but I've decided not to let it affect me. Right? Okay.
When you open up your web browser, do you realize what's coming at you? Right? Do you ever have this thought, well, I watched those movies, but I'm not going to let it affect me. I watched a cartoon. My kid was watching a cartoon the other day, and it was laced with, sorry to say, feminist, homosexuality stuff. 2 years old. And I was like, my goodness, why does that even have to be there? Right? You realize there's an age that we're in. And there is an operation, an evil one that's in there. He's sowing those thoughts into my kids for a reason. Right? So, anyway, my intention is not to get into all of this, but where I'm from, the institution of marriage, what is a gender? It's under assault. And the attempt by the professors at the school I'm at is openly manifest. They're trying to change the way you think about that. Right? Other than what God has ordained and what's in His Word. Right. So, anyway, I'm not getting into that right now, but what I want to get into is this. Can we all receive this thought that every single one of us is a patient? Every single one of us is a case. And the thing is, whether we know it or not, there's something that's in us that needs renewing. There's thoughts in us that need to be straightened. Crooked places need to be made straight. High places need to be brought down. Low places need to be brought up. Okay? So, if this is true, and I believe it is, we need a way to go on. And I just want to share with you something practical that I have been seeing and experiencing and watching is I have been watching people just like you, your age, read the Bible. Read the Bible every day. Coming from all kinds of backgrounds. They've opened to me personal things. It's just, you wouldn't believe it. Day by day, brothers and sisters, we need the Word of God.
Amen.
We need to be reading the Word of God.
Amen.
The divine thought is there. Your mind can be corrected. The way of thinking. And by the way, if your mind is corrected, you view things in a different way. You value different things. You love things differently. Right? Once you show me the price, oh, I don't love it anymore, it's too much. Right? Okay. The other thing I would recommend to you is the life studies. No one, I have seen no one grow as much, heal as much, have their families affected as much as watching people read the life studies. If you do these two things, if you read the Bible and you read the life studies, your being, you will be transformed. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We need the renewal of the mind. Yes. Last in point C, I'll finish with this. Will you read that to me?
Our spirit has to be burning so that we may serve the Lord in zeal.
Yes. Our spirit has to be burning. Okay. Our spirit is the connection point to the transmission. Have you picked that up this weekend? Head over all things to the church. Specifically to the spirit of the people in the church. Transmission. Right? Our spirit is the connection point. So for the body of Christ to have life and to be filled with life and to overflow life and express, right, we have to fan our spirit into flame.
Amen.
Even in, I think it's 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, we have to exercise our spirit unto godliness. This is an exercise. When we talk about exercising our spirit, what do we mean? Well, sometimes we think exercising our spirit, maybe it happened even this weekend. Earlier I was talking to you and I said, okay, read it again with more exercise of spirit. And then you got louder. Some of you used your arm a little bit, right? So then somebody brand new, I don't know, Paul just got here. He may be looking and he may see that and may be like, oh, the exercise of the spirit equals volume and arm motion. You may think that, right? But actually, it can be a help to exercise your spirit. But we have to understand, like our brother shared, our spirit, we have functions of our spirit that contact God. And the leading part of our spirit is our conscience. So that woman at the well said, give me that water that I would not thirst again. And the Lord says, go call your husband. He didn't say, be really loud and move your arm. He said, go call your husband. And you know why he said that? This water is here in abundance for you to drink. But there's this problem. You have this conscience that's full of guilt and sin. You have been fornicating and living in fornication, right? So he told her that so that she could agree with him. That's right. That's right. I perceive that you're a prophet because what you said is true. She was confessing her sin, right? And the issue of that confession was the living water.
Amen.
I just like to say that so that I can say this. When we're talking about exercising your spirit, to have the enjoyment and the joy of the Lord, like in the next point that says that we need to be beside ourselves, right? And fools. The precursor to that is we need to be right with the Lord, which means we need to take care of our sin. We need to take care of our relationship with the Lord. Paul testified, this was my experience too. Once I touched my spirit, the brothers asked me, what do you want to do? And I was like, read the Bible? As the words were coming out of my mouth, I didn't even know what I was saying. But I sat down and I started reading the Bible and it just came alive. I started to see, wow, this like the veil was rolling away. Our human spirit, brothers and sisters, is the key. So we need to be those who exercise our spirit. And we need to learn how to exercise our spirit. So for this, there's a lot of practical help. What can we do day by day? I think I'll stop here. I'll let Brother David fellowship with us more. How we can do this.
So by this weekend, I think we should know who we are. Who are we? Who are you? Why are we here? What are we doing here? Right? And in view of God's eternal purpose and God's economy. So who we are? Am I just a man in the world, born here in this age, just doing the things? Who are we? Who are you now? You be back. Who are you now? Huh?
A member of the church.
Yes. You know, first of all, to be a man, I'm a Christian. I have to be filled with Christ. We are Christian. That means we're small. I'm just a little Christ. I'm a Christ in duplication. So I'm a duplication of Christ to be filled with Him. I am a Christian. Yes. I'll get to it. Okay, Louis. Okay. But not only I'm, because how we live, what we do is according to our understanding of who we are. There is that understanding, right? You do things based upon knowing, understanding, right? I mean, why do you want to go to school? We ask the question. So here I just want to review in this aspect. This weekend, we should go away. Lord, I'm not only a man, but I am a Christian, right? And I am also a believer in Christ, who has not only believed as an objective thing, I believe in Christ, into Christ. That means I have an organic union. My living is living in that organic union, believing, joining to Christ. But much more, okay, because that's actually Romans. He began a sinner. Right? He's saved. Now, what is the subject of Romans?
Sinners
becoming the sons of God. And not only we believe we're the sons of God, but also we need to advance. Right? The first, 12 and 11 chapters talk about God selected us. Actually, chapter 11. God selected you, all of us, before the foundation of the world. Right? He has not only justified us, right? He reconciled. All the process that we call judicial redemption. Romans 5:10. Right? And then much more of the organic salvation in life. Right? It's what He has given. It's what He has given us. Right? So we can become members.
Amen.
So I'm very glad you say we're members, yes, of the church, of the universal body of Christ.
Amen.
So we're being baptized into the triune God. Into the body. So therefore we are members of the body Okay, to join an organization, you're there for the activities. You come on Sundays. But to be a member is a 24-hour thing. So please go back with this realization. It doesn't matter what I do, I'm a member now.
Yeah. Right.
Even if I'm studying, you know, you go back to work, you're holding a baby, brother's changing the baby diapers, okay, now it's your turn, midnight, okay. But it's changing, when you're changing the diapers, I'm still a member of the body of Christ.
Right.
Because I have Christ as my head. I'm joined to Him. And I'm, so if you have that realization, I don't have the time, it's in Acts 9 and later on, in Saul's conversion, but Anissa, to see the body is as you are saved the second time. Mm. So Paul's salvation is not only salvation of Christ, the church, he saw the body.
Amen.
So he saw the body. Sometimes we do, oh, I'm just a believer, you know. But we didn't see the body. But for Paul, he saw the body. Mm-hmm. He saw Christ, the head. He saw Christ, the body.
Yes.
No time, right? So for us to realize, it doesn't matter why I leave this place, why I'm driving, I am just a member of the body of Christ. Because I'm a part. So whatever I do affects the body. If I grow, the body will grow. If I function, the body will be built. So I just want to come out with this realization. Now I'm not individuals anymore. When I go out of here, I'm a member of the body of Christ.
Amen.
So whatever I do affects the body of Christ.
Amen.
Even I'm alone at home.
Yes.
Nobody's watching. Whatever I do there affects the body. That's why Brother Lee prayed. And one of the Friday nights, Saturday night, he said, oh, I'm praying. What are the saints doing tonight? Because whatever the saints are doing affects the body. Today, if we want to, okay, so I'll be real quick. If we realize who we are, then we need to come to Romans 12, consecrate ourselves.
Amen.
I just have a word, you know, preset. It's just Romans 1. Consecration means to present
right.
Our bodies
Amen.
As one living sacrifice
yes.
to Christ.
Amen.
That means we're in time and space. Please realize, I'm a member. Then how should I spend my time as a member of the body of Christ, of who you are? We have the member life, the body life. The member life is just Christ.
Yeah.
That's message two.
Yeah.
Because this body is of life. It's an organism.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to enjoy life.
Amen.
Right? Actually, that life is a life-giving spirit. It is the spirit.
Yes.
Right? The reality is the spirit of life.
Amen.
I had to grow. But also the oneness. Right, to keep the body in existence. If I don't have the oneness with another member, you realize I'm a body. If I don't connect with the saints, I'm a dismembered body. This is dismembered member. I'm a divided dead member. So you have to come away with this vision. So then, how should I spend my time? Yes, I'm alone, I'm studying, I'm a member of the body of Christ. But in reality, you have to present your bodies. So my suggestion is budget your time. Budget your energy. We fellowship with the working saints. You have to consider in a week, or just say in a day, how am I going to spend my day? Right? I want to grow in life. Don't you want to grow in life? So how much time, Lord, according to my capacity, I want to spend time with you. Right? In the morning, we suggest, let's make a suggestion. How about 5 minutes in the morning? Start with that. It's better half an hour. Right? How about spend 5 minutes with the Lord in the morning?
Amen.
The first thing you do, the first thing you wake up, just open your eyes and call on His name.
Amen.
Just talk to Him. Actually, call to pray. Just talk to Him.
Amen.
And also, to sing a song, just spend time with Him.
Amen.
How about throughout the week? How am I going to spend time with another member? Okay, practically, let's put it in this way. Okay, the body life, we don't have time to go through all the rest of the outline. Please go through yourself. Actually, the smallest unit of the church life is where? In singing Matthew 18.
Right.
Where?
Twos and threes.
Yes. You can say, oh, I love Dennis. He's in Montreal. I want to plan to be with the saints in Vancouver. But you're here. So the smallest unit to live a body life, in a sense, in the church life, is in the twos and threes.
Amen.
Go to Matthew 18, where twos and threes are gathered together. I am in the middle. Whatever you pray, you'll be answered. Right? You see, so find your companions. I would even say, budget your time with the companions. Sometimes, oh, okay, I like you, let's, you know, exchange, what do you do now? Facebook? Messenger? How about a Snapchat? Can we have two and three Snapchats? Two and three Facebook messengers in the morning. I heard some. You know, let's go through the Bible. If I can spend the time, at least I can record something. Right? I heard some testimony. You record in the morning, 1 minute. Lord Jesus, I love you. You know, I know the Ian and William, you two. You know, I heard they were companions since last year. How are you doing, brothers? Still on? Are you on off?
Weekly basis.
Oh, see. Because I know, last year was Monday and Fridays. You two have classes together because I was supposed to join them. I never did. My invincible presence with them. So, you know, schedule your time, okay? I better stop. You just schedule your time, right? Budget it. Okay, I'd like to be with you, but you don't schedule time. How about before you leave, consider to find a companion. If you don't have one, right? If you have it, schedule a time. She's my companion. I never call her. No. They have a weekly basis. It's up to you. The twos and threes find a time to spend time together.
Yes.
How's that? I mean, twos and threes. That's very practical. Everything talk about here, loving one another, can be done. The body life, in a sense, practically can be done in the twos and threes.
Amen.
Okay, so basically, as a simple, schedule your time. Budget your time. Time and space. Okay. And the second point I want to fellowship is to ask the word. We had so for the 4 years, I just want to share with you, with the college student. 4 years you get a degree. 4 years after college training conferences, what did you get? 4 years in the church life, what do you get? Nothing. It should not be nothing. You should get Christ. But Christ and as in the Word, right? We should have more Christ. We should be here more for the building.
Amen.
So that means we are fellowshipping with the college students over Canada. 4 years, how about this? If you're coming as a freshman, we will add fellowship. It's up to your localities, how you lead, how you do it. How about read through the Bible once every school year? So 4 years, I will read through at least the New Testament 4 times. You look at brother, just have that copy there. Sorry, I have a big one. I can't carry it, but I have it on my phone. Whatever you do, we have a reading schedule, actually, for the college students here. Get onto that schedule. We're going to start again. It's Facebook. Just sign up, or you will receive an email. You can go up. Just read through the Bible. How about this? Okay, in my college years, I don't care how many years you have, right? 2 more years. How about I want to read through the Bible twice? 2 years, and also there are 11 books that we're going through to prepare you for the FTTA, the Bible school, the full-time training. So this summertime, we finished, I think we finished Experience of Life, the first 2 sections. I think we have 3 students that have it. If you have it, we'll consider it. We'll give you a Bible. That's what we do here. So go after look for Dennis. If you don't get it, he'll get it to you. So we do have 3 who finish, catch up on a reading schedule that we have. So we have 11 books. I hope at least by the time you finish your college years, read those 11 books. Where can you find them? FTTA, I'm going to go online. It's all their prerequisites for the FTTA. Okay, so this is what we're doing. Spend time in the Word and life study messages. Just follow the church. The church has life study reading, or the church has a Bible reading schedule. Just follow whatever the church is doing. But most important, do it in 2 and 3. And last thing is a matter of exercising the Spirit. right? To be, this is a matter of prayer. Amen. I would encourage you to pray in the two centuries. Mm-hmm. Pray for your companions. Pray for each other. Pray for new ones. Pray for new students.
Yes.
Okay, but also join the prayer meeting in the church. So I just end here. You know, I hope, is this practical?
Yeah.
Amen.
So who are we?
Christians.
Christian, and I'm also
a member
of the body of Christ.
Amen.
And whatever I do, I grow, the body will grow, right? So we should present our bodies.
Amen.
Budget, please consider budgeting your time.
Amen.
Our consecration is very definite. Lord, I can't do it, but you can.
Yeah.
But at least, Lord, how about every morning I wake up, 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And how about I have a companions.
Amen.
I will read the Bible and pray together.
Amen.
Can we all do that?
Okay.
Do you think it's okay? Is it hard? No, right? So by the time, hopefully, the sermon will check. So we have to leave early. If not, I'll ask. Next time I see you, Brian, do you have a companion?
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask you. I hope you say, yeah, maybe not now, but I need a companion. Right? I hope you can find your companions here. If not, go back home. Or the certain ones can help you to find the companions to be in the twos and threes to practice the body life.
Amen.
Okay, amen.